Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, Joe Fortenbaugh has always been our man in Vegas, even when he's in the Bay Area working for 95.7 The Game. You see him on the Four Letter Network, and now our man in Vegas is in Miami. Let's get to Joe. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Joe.
Pay the under on the drinks, boys. Your boy was razor sharp last night. Focus, diligent, not partying. Focus on the craft that is the radio business. So pay the under, which I'm sure no one in Chicago was willing to bet.
It's Tuesday night, Joe. It's a long week, okay?
Yes. Joe,
talk to us tomorrow.
Friday.
Yeah, it's a pretty good point.
Work, and then Friday night. Friday night's your night, okay? Get it all out of your system, and then recovery on Saturday and game on Sunday. That's
good young man who's got...
Yeah, right up until the Bears lose the Super Bowl, and then that plan's going out the window for you two.
Not at all. We've been there for the Bears in the Super Bowl. It is a very hard and true process.
But it was a long time ago, and it might be a long time before we get back.
It was Miami. It was Miami, right? Like, we were going through this earlier. I think we're going to do a little bit on this later in the week, but when you go back and evaluate and look at the history of Super Bowls in Miami, you have some incredible moments. I mean, John Elway and his Super Bowl here, working all the way through. I'll avoid, you know, Drew Brees and his win when that came over the Colts, which was the last time it was here. This field, this stadium, which has been around forever, no one would consider it to be one of the marquee venues in the business, has seen many of the marquee events in the business. So that's what we're hoping for. We have a pretty good setup here. Point spread of one, total that continues to climb to 54.5. This is set up for a viewer's dream in terms of competitive nature and in terms of high scoring.
So, Joe, we're going to talk to you about all those things that we typically get from you in terms of gambling expertise later in the week on Friday. But you are there because you are around the 49ers all the time. You know this team well. You're on the air every day. As somebody who knows this team as well as you do, how would you describe the way they've handled the week to this point?
Exactly the same as they've handled the season in general. It is a very close-knit group of guys. You hear about locker room culture all the time. They don't just have a good culture. These guys genuinely like each other. There are a lot of similarities here, and it's very cliche to say this, but a lot of similarities to the Golden State Warriors. The guys get along. They're friends off the field. They have this massive running text chain that they're always referencing when they're talking to one another. No one seems overwhelmed by the moment. No one has said anything stupid, which is something you're always trying to avoid in terms of bulletin board material. They just have a plan and they stick to it. I think if you're a Niners fan right now, you're someone that's interested in predicting the Niners to win this game. You've got a very confident group coming in, but they're certainly not cocky. They know the plan. They know they can execute. There hasn't been a situation they faced all year that they're going to face in Miami. They've won big games on the road. They've dealt with hostile weather conditions, hostile crowds, great offenses, great defenses, shortened schedule spots, lengthy schedule spots, everything you could put in front of them. They've played well. You got to remember, in their three losses this year, they were extremely competitive in all three. They lost by 3 points at Baltimore with an early start time. They lost to Seattle in overtime without George Kittle, and Emmanuel Sanders got hurt in that game. And then they lost to Atlanta in a game they absolutely should have won, but they had the lead until the final 10 seconds. There hasn't been a situation for this football team all year in which they have gone out and laid an egg. That's what you get with the Niners. You get a bankable, consistent football team.
And you know, they also have the advantage, and I do always believe it's an advantage, of being the underdog. Even if it's only a point, they're treated like this is the coming out party for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and that's a great point because they not only thrive under that, but it's not like they use it as this rallying cry. I think they just realize that throughout the course of the season, no one's really taken them as seriously as they should, and no one has taken Jimmy Garoppolo as seriously as they should. And on a routine basis, they have continued to try to prove people wrong. I think we've got a little recency bias coming into this football game just based on what we saw in two playoff matchups so far. On the Chiefs side, we're very impressed with the comebacks, very impressed with the scoring, very impressed with Patrick Mahomes. In addition, we saw him in the AFC Championship game last year, and on top of that, many predicted them to go to the Super Bowl this year. So what they've done doesn't surprise. That makes us feel comfortable inside because we're always looking to build consensus. What you should be thinking is how to look outside the box and find the inefficiency. Where is it that everyone thinks something's going to happen, but there's an opportunity to go the other way, right? Like how you play the stock market. So with the Niners, they've been that team. No one really predicted a big season. Some thought 8-8. I know there were some that thought they'd get into the playoffs as a potential wild card. No one saw this. And a lot of people didn't see it from Garoppolo either. So that's why you still have the narrative throughout the course of the week. Well, can Jimmy G win the big one? Well, can Jimmy G compete in a shootout? He can. No one ever wants to reference that Saints game, which was the game of his life in New Orleans, which, by the way, was the second half of a back-to-back. They had just played at Baltimore, spent the week in Florida, and then went out and played the Saints. No one ever wants to look at that game as a reason for why Garoppolo can get it done. We just dismiss it. Why? Because the Saints flamed out in the opening round, and now everyone who loved the Saints early is backing up saying, well, the Saints weren't really that good. So you've got an interesting situation in terms of our preconceived notions versus what's playing out. And the Niners thrive in this scenario. I think the idea that no one's expected much from them, it drives them a little bit, but they just really enjoy performing for each other. Again, when you listen to a lot of the audio coming out of here, it's mostly guys hyping each other up and talking about how important they are to one another. It truly is an incredible culture.
So, Joe, defensively, you could go at it two different ways if you're the 49ers. I think you could trust your front four and conventionally say, we're going to defend the Chiefs the way they have defended every team schematically and really just force the offense to beat you at your own game. Or Molly offered an interesting idea earlier this morning that you just mug the wide receivers and you do something that you take a chance. You mimic what Bill Belichick did to the Greatest Show on Turf, and you just maul the receivers and take your chances that the refs aren't going to call every penalty, every play. Which route do you think the 49ers defense will take?
I think they're going to come out and play the way they normally do, which is rush four and then drop seven, and they're going to see how that plays out. I like the idea of being physical with the opposing receivers. If you go back through Super Bowl history, and one of the best examples of this is the Eagles and the Patriots from 2 years ago, the refs are going to let them play. You got to think about the mindset here. There is no way that the NFL wants this to be a ref show, that there's going to be 25 flags on the field, and you have that situation that played out at the end of the Saints-Rams game. I think the refs go into this game with the mindset of, we're going to let them play, we're going to let them be physical, we'll call what we have to call. Extraordinarily late hits, jumping off sides, the infractions that aren't necessarily judgment calls, the ones that happen in front of you. And I think as a result, it's in your best interest, especially as a defender, to play physical early and test out the officials and see what they're going to allow. And this is a very physical defense all across the board. So I think that benefits the 49ers in a certain respect if they're going to go at it that way. And then from the Mahomes perspective, you look at his numbers, there's not an impressive stat line he can't come up with, right? If you want to blitz him, he can kill you. If you want to keep him in the pocket, he can kill you. If you want to let him get outside the pocket, it's like everything. One note that has popped up, if you blitz a DB at him, right? So if you're going to bring one of your defensive backs while you're brushing four as well, he has had, and it's a small sample size, but that's where he tends to struggle. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a big play from Jaquaski Tartt or Jimmy Ward in this game. Look at those Super Bowl MVP odds if you're looking to take a long shot. Ward's sitting at about 150-1, and he's the free safety, could come up with an interception in this game as well. But I do see them trying to get home with four. We've talked about this the last few weeks when betting the Niners in the playoffs. The presence of Dee Ford, the presence of Nick Bosa, and what it means for the pass rush. I don't see them wanting to come out and blitz because Mahomes is going to have a vacancy he can take advantage of. Try to get home with four, and if it works, that's on the Chiefs to make the adjustments.
You know, when we talk about the physical nature of this team, I think it's a fascinating idea. Mike Florio first brought it up to us, this idea that they have specifically drafted self-motivated players who are ready to hit without being able to practice during the week. When you think of that team in that context, is that why they're more physical than so many other teams, because they can't really violate the rules of the league in practice more or anything like that?
You know what it is? Florio's close, but I think he misses the ultimate point, which is they are a great tackling team. Go back to that Packer game. Look at how many times there's a one-on-one in the open field and they wrap and bring the opposition down. We don't see tackling like this on a regular basis. They are very good tacklers at all three levels. And we've talked about this before. Michael Lombardi, who I used to work with, who I love listening to, a true student of the game, he always has said that your defense is only as fast as your linebackers. And I think you've got the fastest linebacking unit in the league here. That's why the splits with Quan Alexander are so absurd. When Quan's been on the field this year, what this linebacking unit has been able to do versus without him. You know, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, the real question for the Niners is how often can they have all three linebackers on the field? Because you need speed at that position to prevent Mahomes from using his legs to beat you, as we saw in the Tennessee game. But if you have three linebackers on the field, that means you're in your traditional base and you might get exploited in the back end of the secondary because you don't have your nickel corner or your nickel and dime corners in the game. So that's going to be a fascinating aspect as to how often we see all three linebackers on the field. But tackling has been something that they pride themselves on. We noticed it in the game against Green Bay. It's very evident, and that's going to be important this game because you got a lot of guys that if they can slip you, look out. That's world-class speed all over the field for the Chiefs.
Super Bowl week's all about the quarterback and the head coach. We talked about the quarterback. How has Kyle Shanahan handled himself? I thought it was very interesting yesterday, Joe, to hear him talk very honestly and candidly about the fact they didn't draft Patrick Mahomes and he didn't do his homework to the extent that maybe they needed to because they weren't looking in that direction. You have to be a real secure guy to be able to talk as openly as he did about a miss.
He's been as even keel as you can imagine. I've never seen him overly emotional in either direction, whether it's joy or whether it's sorrow. You never really necessarily see him screaming at officials. You don't see any big celebrations or running up and down the sidelines. He's just an even keel guy. He's got a great demeanor, which is important in this day and age because you can tell with the younger generation coming up, you got to coach these guys a little bit differently. Gone are the days of the head coach who can just get in your face and grab your face mask and start screaming at you. These dudes don't want to be coached like that. Like, look at the NBA. I mean, you guys, I remember the years where Tibbs was apparently running everyone too hard and everyone was suffering injuries as a result. And now the Bulls have a bunch of injuries, even more so than they used to back in the day. And it looks like that narrative could possibly be dead. Like, a lot of these guys, when Jimmy Butler was there, Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia, that's a lot of these guys don't want you coming down their lane. They want to be free to do what they want and just kind of guide them. And Kyle's one of those guys that he's got a plan. He's going to give you an opportunity. And if you take advantage of the opportunity, you'll get more opportunities. And if you don't, you're sitting. Look at Dante Pettis. Look at Marquise Goodwin. No one's talking about them this week. Goodwin was the prized free agent wide receiver from a couple years ago, and Pettis was a second round pick from last year. Both were expected to have big seasons. Pettis has disappointed from the beginning to the point where they don't even bother looking at him for the active roster. And Goodwin has been so bad for them, they didn't even let him travel with the team on Monday or Sunday. When they came down here, they brought some of their IR guys, but not all. He was one of the guys that was left behind. Like, Kyle's, he's not going to get in your face. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to criticize you. But if you don't make plays, you're going to sit. And if you're upset, that's going to be on you. It comes down to accountability. So to the Mahomes angle quickly, because I know I've thrown a lot of words at you guys on this one. The plan was Kirk Cousins. He loved Kirk Cousins in Washington, right. And he knew that Kirk wasn't going to stay and that he was going to test free agency, and that's where they were going to make their play. The Garoppolo thing just fell into their lap because of the chaos that broke out in New England, and Belichick wanted to get him out of the AFC, and you know he has fondness and respect for Mike Shanahan, so he figured he'd do Kyle a favor. Second-round pick looks like gold, but again, I mean, everybody, the Mahomes thing, look, he's going to come back to burn a lot of people. That's not going anywhere. That type of talent is, that's generational.
Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow, pal. Thank you a ton.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Love you, boys. Have a good one. We'll speak tomorrow morning.
Behave
tonight.
Sounds
great, Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.